This is God's word. Not Pastor Eben's word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you for the word today. Help it get on the inside of us and change the outside of us. Thank you for 20 years of you being a faithful God. That God, even when we're not faithful, you have to be faithful because you are a faithful God. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're doing. And thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say amen, amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Well, we're in a series called Big Faith. Everybody say Big Faith. We're in a series called Big Faith, and the purpose of the series is to teach us the principles, the protocol, the positions, and the promises that come along with faith. And so last week, our topic was faith is a principle. Everybody say faith is a principle. And if you missed it, I want you to go back and I want you to watch it or listen to it, because faith doesn't come by having heard, it comes by hearing. And the way I'm going to be teaching faith, and I'm not sure how long I'm going to be in this series, because one of the topics that I am going to cover is faith to hear the voice of God. Because you cannot get to this place in ministry and in life if you haven't learned how to hear God's voice. And so one of the things I'm going to be doing is teaching that. So I'm going to be teaching faith in layers. Everybody say layers. Yeah. So I want you to go back and listen to each lesson and try to do it in a sequential order. Now today, since we're celebrating 20 years of being a ministry, I'm going to take a slight detour from the original faith message, but I am going to still talk about faith. And so if you have the notes today, our message title is Faith for the Journey, because this has been a 20-year journey, and I believe there are some faith lessons that I've experienced over the last 20 years of pastoring Word of Truth that I believe can help you in your faith journey today. So I'm not sure what you are believing God for, what you're in the middle of, if you're believing Him for a house, or if you're in faith to get married, or if you're in faith to be healed. Whatever your journey of faith is, I believe some of the lessons that I've learned over the last 20 years is going to help you in your faith journey. All right. So last week, one of the key things that we talked about was that God expects us to live by faith. Everybody say, God expects us to live by faith. Why? Because faith pleases Him. That's why He expects us to live by faith. And so the moment that you and I decide to shrink back from living by faith is the moment we cease to please God with our lives. And so I'm only going to give you four keys, and I think I can get them all in. Four keys on how to make your journey of faith successful. So here's point number one, if you're going to follow us in the notes. And this is how to make your faith journey a success. You have to understand, sometimes faith provides direction before it provides details. I'm going to say that again. Sometimes faith provides direction before it provides details. See, sometimes God gives direction before He provides details. When you're walking by faith, the goal, listen, church, is not for God to show so you can know. The goal is also for you to go so He can show. See, sometimes we are waiting around for what God wants us to do when He's wanting us to take some steps. And the only way that our steps can be ordered is when we trust God one step at a time. Say amen to that. Amen. Amen. And so the story we're about to read is very familiar, but I'm going to tie that story in to a faith lesson that I learned over the last 20 years. So this is Genesis chapter 12, verses 1. I'm reading out of the King James this morning. It says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, unto a land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation." Everybody say a great nation. He says, and I will bless you. The next word is and. Everybody say and. And I will make your name great. And then the next word is and. Everybody say and. And you shall be a blessing. Look at verse 3. And everybody say and. And I will bless them that bless you. And everybody say and. And curse those that curse you. Everybody say and. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Do you see all of those ands that was connected to what God wanted to do in Abraham's life? So the Bible says, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was about 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Let me just say this. If you are 75 years old, still have hope for what God wants to do in your life. Amen. And Abram took his wife Sarah and Lot his son, his brother's son, and all their substance, and they gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and in the land of Canaan they came. So the New Testament account of this story is interesting. I'm just going to read it for reference to show you something. But in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 8 it says, it was by faith, everybody say by faith. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and to go into another land that God would give him as an inheritance. And the Bible says he went without knowing where he was going. So before I point out the obvious thing about faith providing direction before it provides details, let me give you a main key. Everybody say a main key. Let me give you a main key about journeying in faith. That main key is going to help you be successful in your faith walk. Amen. And that main key is we should start our journey of faith with a direct word and not a third party word. So what is that? A direct word is when God tells you you need to do something. Now if you notice, Genesis 12, in verse 1, it started out by saying, and the Lord spoke to Abram. And so a lot of times, sometimes people start their faith journey out with a third party word. You say, well, what is a third party word? Let's say somebody prophetic tells you something. Well, them telling you something should confirm something. Amen. And a lot of times we don't start with the word. We started with somebody else's word. Amen. And Abram received a direct word. And although, listen, a direct word may come from God, it should still be mirrored by scripture and confirmed by what I'm going to call God-ordained others. See, this is an area that can get muddy, especially with prophetic people, you know, which right now our land is, you know, you can be on Instagram and receive an Instagram prophecy. All right. And see, normally prophetic people, here's the thing about it. They can hear clearly from God for other people, but when it comes to themselves, it makes it very difficult to hear for you. Amen. So I'm not going to get into that, but I will say this. You know, some people say, I have the gift of discernment. Well, no, you probably have the gift of nosiness. Here's what's interesting, and if you don't watch it, you'll find yourself doing this. You know, if you're prophetic, well, I'm just sensing that God is saying this or doing this, and if they're filtering through their experience or their pain, what they may be discerning is not discernment, it's just suspicion. Listen to Titus chapter 1, verse 15. I'm gonna get off of this. I just needed to say this. It says, everything, everybody say everything. Everything is pure to those whose hearts are pure. So that's why you can be wanting to do me wrong. I'm still going to act like you ain't doing that because my goal is to love. And I'll let God deal with you on the rest of it. But it says to the pure, all things are pure. Watch this. But nothing is pure to those who are corrupt and unbelieving. Why? Because their minds and their consciences are corrupted. So if you're prophetic in nature, which I believe everybody has some form of prophetic on them, make sure your discernment starts with you. Look at your neighbor and say, I know he's talking to you right now. So sometimes God, I'm going to hurry up. Sometimes God will give direction before he gives details. And so watch this now. When I went to Bible school, right, God told me when I was in Bible school at 27 years old that he wanted me to be a pastor. But God left a whole lot of details out. One of the details he left out, that it was going to take 13 years before that happened. My thing is, why tell me? Just let me know the week before. And we good, God. Why did you tell me 13 years ahead of time? What am I supposed to do with that information? Right? But see, here's the thing, church. God's not obligated to share tomorrow's plans with us today. He's not obligated to do that. And sometimes the information that God gives us is on an as-needed basis. And I believe the reason it's that way is so that way we won't come up with our own plans. Because, see, if God gives plans too early, we'll start altering his plans by what we think is best. So point number one was that faith provides direction sometimes before it provides details. Here's number two. Faith must be flexible. Faith must be flexible. You know, I learned this in Bible school. Blessed are the flexible, for you shall not be broken. See, if you're too stiff, you cannot be in ministry, because ministry has a flexibility to it. Amen. And when you're walking by faith, sometimes faith requires flexibility. Amen. Hebrews 11:17 says, it was by faith that Abram offered Isaac as a sacrifice. Here it is. On one hand, God promises him a son, and then later on ask him to give that son up, burn him up as a sacrifice. Man. And sometimes faith is that way. Faith requires flexibility. And I'll never forget, listen, when we started this whole process of building this building, I had no idea we were going to change builders three times. What's interesting is, the first builder, I really didn't pray about, but I had peace about, because it was a friend that I have built some buildings with before. He had built church buildings. But as we got closer to the whole project, I felt like, okay, he's not the one. And unfortunately, I had to fire my friend. But sometimes you have to do that. It was a difficult conversation, but it was the best thing. The second person, before I changed, I prayed, and the Lord led me to use the people we use, and they didn't work out. So part of me be like, well, Lord, why would you lead me to use somebody and you knew they weren't going to do right midway through it? Here is why, and this will clear up some of you all's why do people do this, or why did God do this? See, God is hoping through the whole time you get your heart back straight. See, the Bible says love hopes all things, and love believes in all things. So God, this is why somebody cannot receive Christ their whole life and be on their deathbed and accept Christ and be saved, and God lets them in. Why? Because he's hoping the whole time they change their heart. So sometimes you have to be flexible. So here's a take-home thought. Faith is not a straight line, because things can get crooked at times. It's not a straight line. Because, listen, God, even though he will make crooked things straight, I think in our minds, if it's God and if it's faith, it should just be a straight line. It doesn't work like that. Because changing builders three times was not a straight line. Say amen to that. Here's number three, or I think it's number three. Don't stress. Oh, am I on three or four?
Three.
I'm on three? Okay, let me see what three was. Did I skip two? Okay, that's fine. I'm just going to go to the next, because I ain't got that much time anyway. This one's good right here. How do you have a successful faith journey? Don't stress out, because things are going to work out. Everybody say, don't stress out, because things will work out. Romans 8:28, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Church, let me tell you something. Over the 20 years, if my 27-year-old self could talk to my 60-year-old self, this is what I would tell myself. Don't stress out, it's going to work out. As much stress as building this building caused, it worked out. As much stress as some of the transitions I've had to go through, as much stress as it caused, it worked out. It looked like, you know, we had to change what? Schools 3 times. That was a little stressful, but it, come on, I think you're getting it right now. It worked out. I know you went through a divorce and it looks like things ain't gonna work out for you, but let me tell you by experience, it's gonna work out. I know right now you're not getting child support like you want, and he's not giving it or paying it or whatever. But let me tell you what I know. I do know and have a relationship with Jehovah Jireh. And what I've learned about Jehovah Jireh is that he's my provider. And when he provides, it's gonna work out. I know that your car is broke down right now, but what I do know is that the same God that blessed you with the car that broke down is the same God that can bless you with a car that's gonna be better than the one that you had. You know why? Because it's gonna work out. And what I've learned is it works all things together for good. See, here's the thing about God. If it has to work out together for good, that means I had to go through something to experience that. And what I've discovered about God is that God is a God of levels, and his last good has to be better than his last good, which means that his good has to get gooder. I know that ain't a word, but God's good gets gooder. And I'm gonna tell you something, over 20 years, I've seen God get gooder. So I don't know where you are, I'm out of time. I don't know where you are in your faith journey, but what I do know is that what he said he would do in his word, he's been faithful to that. So how do we apply it? Well, Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Approach your faith journey, watch this, one faith step at a time. And what I do know, even in the midst of doing God's will, when something don't go right, if you'll trust him, he'll make that wrong right. Amen. We were building this building. Everything was, you know, it was kind of, but it was working, you know. And I decide to park my car across the street right there where the school is at. And leave it running because I needed to come talk to the construction person. I used to wear a lot of Jordans, and so the key, you know, slides out of your pocket. Those who wear Jordans know what I'm talking about. When you sit down, whatever's in your pocket is going to come out. So the key slid out of my pocket. No big deal. It's right across the street. The construction trailer was right there by the edge of the street. You know where that house is right there? The construction trailer was like that. So I run in. I come back out. My car gone. I'm like, what? And the construction guy was like, Pastor, where's your car? Where'd you park it? I said, but it was over there. Here it is in the midst of a $10 million project. My car gets stolen. And you know what? I couldn't say the devil took it. Because we be blaming the devil for stuff. It ain't his fault. It is not the devil's fault that I left my car running with the key in. That's not the devil. And so I didn't come out binding it loose. Did I bind the devil? No, I didn't bind the devil. I had to repent before God. Because I did not manage correctly what he blessed me with. Long story short, you know, a car, you know, put it on Facebook. Hey, if you see this car, let us know. Right? Because it wasn't, you know, it was an unusual car. So, you know, I don't even know why a thief would steal a car. The parts are coded to that car. You cannot take the part off this car and put it on another one. It's coded, right? And I never forget, you know, I got a cousin. You know, how many got family on both sides of the law? Both sides. Still got them. Don't mess with me. Don't mess with me. My cousin texted me and said, cuz, my boys don't have your car. I just want you to know that. They didn't take it. I said, I appreciate that, cuz. Look out for it in the streets by me. What's my point? It worked out for my good. And that's what I want to pray. Wherever you're in the middle of right now, I'm here to tell you by experience, it is going to work out. I know you're being challenged in your relationship. Don't bail out. Never make permanent decisions with temporary feelings. Don't do that. Trust him, and he's going to work it out. With every head bowed and every eye closed, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for your people. Thank you for what you've done in our lives over the last 20 years. Lord, I'm praying for some people who are in the midst of a faith journey. Some of them don't know which way to go. But God, I can hear you saying, when we don't know, you said acknowledge you in all of our ways, and you will direct our path. So Lord, I thank you for those who don't know what to do. I thank you for giving them what they need to do. Father, those who are in the midst of some challenges, where whether it's a challenge with their assets, with their homes, or with their cars, or whatever, Father, the transitioner, they're in the middle of a home buying process and something's popped up that they didn't expect. God, you already know. And just like you've worked it out for me, I know you're going to work it out for them. Thank you for being a God that is faithful to not only what you say, you show that by what you do. So I ask that you comfort them, give them those five things that we talked about last week. Those who need a plan of action, those who need wisdom, those who need favor from you, those who need just strength to endure until their change comes. Father, whatever they need today, I thank you for supplying it, because you are Jehovah Jireh. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head still bowed, if you're here and you're not saved,